Let's do questions for a while, if anybody. They don't have to be relevant. You can ask me about your dog, or I don't care. Okay, I just think it's nice to do sometimes. Yes, please. Oh, do we have a mic? Do we have another mic? No. Yeah, but I think it's better. It's also better for the recording. Anyway, let's start, and he'll figure it out. Johnny will figure it out. You yell. Oh, I see. And then you have trouble sleeping.
Well, then it's like I've had a pot of coffee.
Yeah. You're too wired.
And so what has happened is just like avoiding it. Okay. Because I know what's going to happen. And it's almost like instant. It's almost like something goes, and then...
Does anybody else have that problem? I don't know. Yeah? Like when you think about good things you did just before you go to bed? It's funny because it has the opposite effect on me. It's that's the emptiness of
yeah.
Like I'm like, what good thing did I? Anybody have a suggestion? Okay. Anybody have any suggestion? Do it when you wake up. That might be that's maybe a good idea. You want to try that in the morning?
Yeah.
That would be nice if you can. Anybody else have any idea, a suggestion?
Coffee part is figurative.
Yeah. Yeah, it's herbal. It's herbal tea or something. Something I learned in three-year retreat was mint tea is good for when you go to bed because you don't have to pee pee after that. Yeah.
I heard left nostril breathing is very relaxing.
Any other ideas?
What about just dedicating right after you did it?
Yeah, that's okay. I think what happens is, I think what you're saying is that by reviewing an event of the day, you get riled up again. Right?
Well,
yeah, or you start thinking too much.
It activates.
Yeah. Hmm. You have a suggestion for her, or you just have a question?
No, for her.
Okay, go. Suggestion?
I have the same problem. I usually I set a time for it, and then when I'm done, I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop thinking about it now, because I would think, it'd be like 3 in the morning. So I'd make a decision to stop thinking about it, and then I count my breaths.
That's not what it is. It's not like my mind just keeps working. It's actual physical
learning. Oh, she gets anxiety and stuff. Did you have anybody, Paulina, you have an idea?
Maybe right in the morning when you could take care of you, then you offer them the good karma and you review the last day, all the good karma.
Okay, yeah. She's trying to cash in on the sleep thing, though. She's trying, because the seed will multiply while you're asleep. Did you have an idea, Nicole?
I don't.
Talk louder.
So I just started keeping a journal and writing down cool things, and then focusing maybe on one or two for that night, the biggest ones. And then I'd have, a list of other things, and then the next day if I wanted to work with it, I could work with it. But I like to write them down and keep a journal, and it helps me. So I don't think.
Yeah.
Or they're really not that strong, and I just kind of fall asleep, and they weren't really, because a concentration of thinking about something like that can bring on lung.
And keep you awake.
Yes.
What would be a way to use the four steps? What would be a karmic way to deal with this? Help someone else who what? Yeah, or has lung? Ultimately, it's the Shisampajora Tortu, which the Guadalajarians are the experts of. Your t-shirt is all over Beijing, you know. This t-shirt. Everybody in Beijing has your, yeah. The Shi Sampajora tattoo that was designed in God. It's all over. The whole Beijing retreat had it. Each person had it on. So let's try that. Decide you don't want Lung when you're going to bed. Find someone else who has an anxiety problem. Yeah, take them out for more coffee. Let's make an herbal tea. And then think about that in the morning. Okay, let's try that. Try that. I'm thinking that. Any other questions? General questions? Yeah, Mr. Eddie.
Is there a scripture that talks about how quickly the karma ripens and how you can make it ripen in a day or a week or a month? A sutra?
I'll check. I mean, I'm using this text. We had it in this text in Guadalajara, I think. They talked about how it multiplies and things like that. A scriptural source for that. I'll have to think about it. Let me explain something that happened, okay? Lord Buddha taught 500 BC, and then nobody wrote it down. And they just... The audiences in those days had the capacity to memorize what he said as he said it. So people think that we're more advanced, but according to Buddhism, we're not. We need machines to remember things, and they didn't have them, and they just memorized what he said. And then afterwards, they had three great councils, and major disciples of the Buddha would say, Dike Daki Duba Tuchina, Ekasmin Samaya. What's that, Shruti? How's that go? What's that mean? Once I heard this once, and that means that this is being recited by someone who heard him teach. Like the Heart Sutra, is being recited by somebody at one of those meetings. The first wording it means I heard this. So then afterwards, there was a weird thing happened right after that. For 600-700 years, Buddhism went into a serious decline right after the Buddha. The people don't know about that. Those were dark times, strange times in the world. Like Buddhism, especially the emptiness teachings, went into a serious decline. And then people pasted together a system based on his teachings, which was called Abhidharma. Okay, so Abhidharma came to be, and people, including I think Shariputra, they pasted together his teachings into kind of an encyclopedia, and that was called Abhidharma. And in there, the fourth chapter of the most important, there are 7 books on Abhidharma, but the most important one is called Abhidharma Kosha, which I would like to teach next April. When the retreatants come out. I've never taught it. And I did it for 12 years with Rinpoche. So, but in there, in the fourth chapter, they talk about how to multiply the seeds. Yeah. And how to make the seeds grow faster. But constantly in this book, Pabongkor Rinpoche is talking about it also. But he doesn't quote, he may not always, well, here he's quoting the sources from Maitreya, right? We're working from Maitreya, but the Abhidharma will have sources from Lord Buddha. So the fourth chapter. So my answer is the fourth chapter of the Abhidharma question. Lele jikten nato ke dini samba tandeche. Samba yiki le yin no deche ngi lu dang naki le. Like that, it goes like that. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, good. Oh, Bodhisattva. Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. So Rob's basic question is, we're talking about the path of habituation which occurs after you see emptiness directly. But it's possible to see emptiness directly without having universal love, bodhicitta. It's possible. And my example to my friends who asked me about it is a physicist, you know? Like a good physicist who understands the uncertainty principle, right? Who's that? Heisenberg will have deep insights into emptiness, and they can almost perceive emptiness. If you understood Heisenberg closely, you might be able to see emptiness with no intention to help the world at all. You just like want to blow up a city or that's not serious. But you, it's possible without, so his question is my example of the first way of making this seed more powerful, which is to think of the ultimate implications of what, the repercussions on a galactic level of what you're doing. Is that restricted to bodhisattvas? Or what if you're not a bodhisattva? What do you think? I mean, the clue would be, where is this coming from? Where is this teaching coming from? Yeah. Yeah, how it would help the whole world. But remember the source that we're talking about. What's the source? Yeah, it's Abhisamayalankara. Maitreya didn't teach any Hinayana scriptures. All five books are Mahayana. Are they all Majjhimika?
No.
Yeah, they're not all middle way. Some of them are mind-only school. Okay? So in either case, anything Maitreya ever taught that we have is already assuming bodhisattvas. How's that? Okay. Maybe one more question. Yeah. Anybody? Anatole? Talk, do it loud so people can hear you. Yeah. Okay, good question. So there's one idea of the mind as being immaterial and ineffable, cannot be weighed, cannot be divided, cannot be perceived with the physical senses, not possible. And it's hard to get a Westerner to divorce their idea of the brain from their idea of the mind. So anyone who grew up in the West, Mexico or US or, you know, doesn't matter. We think of the mind as the brain, and we get confused between the mind and the brain. And you have to appreciate that in Buddhism, the mind is an ineffable light, effulgence. It's an ineffable awareness that is not physical at all. Okay? So you could detonate a nuclear weapon in this room in 5 minutes, and the bodies would all, what do you call it? There's a nice word for it. They would vaporize, yeah, yeah. And then nothing would happen to the minds. The minds would be sitting here, you know, sleepy and wondering when the class is going to end. You know, like, no, I mean, nothing would happen to the minds at all. You okay? But then Anatole's question is cool, because in the tantric teachings, we say lungsem jupa chipa, right? The thoughts ride upon the prana. So there must be a connection between the body and the mind, right? And the scriptural references are two. One is, if you drink alcohol quickly, the mind will become stupid. Your ability to, your judgment will be impaired immediately. And you'll do stuff that you shouldn't do because your judgment is impaired. And I don't care who you are, and I don't care how much you say you can drink. Your judgment is impaired within two sips or something. The opposite is also true. If you have a lot of stress at work, and you're fighting with people at work or something, you have a lot of anxiety, or you've got to catch planes all the time, that affects your health. So obviously the mind affects the body, and the stuff in the body affects the mind. So there must be an interface. I like to think of it as an interface, like a computer interface. there must be some interface between body and mind, because those are two proofs that one affects the other and the other affects the other. So what is the interface? And Buddhism says the interface is inside the nadis, or the channels of your body, of your inner body, where the prana moves. And then as prana moves, it's like a horse, and then your thoughts ride upon that horse. So today we had, I was very happy about the yoga class, and I thank Johnny O and Nick for bringing Danielle. Because now I have another yoga teacher that I can go, you know, I can have a crush on another yoga teacher. Now, I there's so many great yoga teachers around, you know, and it's so nice to have another one to go to for a really cool class. But what I was really happy about in the class was that it would make you guys better in my class, because your prana is flowing, you know, which means your mind is moving, because prana carries the thoughts, okay? And so I was trying to get it back later in the week, because that'll last for 2 days or something. Like, if you do yoga well, the prana moves in the channels, and then your mind is more bright and sharp during a class. And that's why, that's a big reason. We force all the teachers on a DCI tour. They're always required to go to they teach yoga, and then they have to, during lunchtime, they have to go to a very tough yoga class, a staff yoga class, and they kill them. And then they're all bright and happy, and they teach well. So Anatole's question is there a difference between the mind that you say rides upon the prana and the mind that you say is ineffable? Because how can that be? How can a thing that has no form ride upon a thing which has form? Because how can they touch? How can they make contact? You know, what do you guys? Anybody have an idea? How can a thing which has no form support a thing which has? Sorry, be supported upon a thing that has form? How can you put nothing on a table? Say why? Why is their essence the same? I like the answer. They're made of what? Yeah, well, they're made of our projections, right? So they're both, whether a thing is physical or mental, it's still popping out of a karmic seed. In the end, it's a lucent image coming out of our mind. The substance of the mind from that point of view and the substance of the body from that point of view are the same. And I think that's a cool answer. I think they're both projection, and a projection can ride upon a projection. That's not a problem. And if one of the projections drank a lot of beer, the other projection could get affected. You see what I mean? So that's a good question. That's a really nice question. I used to struggle with that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is riding on some prana. Yeah, okay.